Well, we're going to continue on with the process, right? The process is repent, renounce, and receive. Jesus is the way, truth, and life. And that, and we have tapes also about walking it out and so forth. But we're going to go through this process right now of deliverance. You know, and not all the time do you have to have some kind of manifestation of, you know, your head twisted and you're vomiting and so forth, where a spirit can leave you. One of the great deceptions is that many believers don't believe that they can have a demon. And that's just plumb crazy. You know? Where do you think they want to go? Think about it. They don't need a lot of demons to hinder unbelievers. The demons are headed after the believers. Right? I mean, didn't Jesus cast out people in the synagogue? Cast out demons in the synagogue? Right? I mean, he was right in the synagogue and somebody come up to him or whatever and said, hey, what's and that woman with the infirmity and so forth? So, you know, Jesus, they were believers, weren't they? They were all followers. And they didn't know the ways of Jesus. When that happened and he started casting out demons and talking in authority, they were like, man, what new doctrine is this? It wasn't really a new doctrine. It was a doctrine that always was. But the problem is, you know, he said, you search the scriptures thinking that you're saved. And these scriptures testify of me. But you won't come to me. Well, you can get saved. Amen. So he was telling them, man, you're bound by the letter. But I am the word. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. So our most important part of our walk is a relationship, isn't it? Because I know people, I know a gentleman is a powerful man of God. And he can't read. He could never read. He left home when he was a real young kid. And his mom told him, go ahead, get going. It's time for you to go. And he said, Mom, how am I going to handle this? She said, the Holy Spirit will teach you. And this man's in his 60s now, and he's a wealthy individual. God has used him greatly. He comes up with simple prayers. Father, please just fix it. Father, please just fix it. Because he sits with the Holy Spirit. He sits with him every morning and talks with him. And he just tells him. And now he's got a powerful ministry. He's opened up places where people can come in to apartments and all kinds of stuff. He's bought land. He's going to build places where they're going to be self-sustaining, or growing their own food and everything else. I've known this man since I've been saved. I used to pray with him. And it's a powerful thing in relationship with the Holy Spirit. But you know, the devil doesn't want you to have relationship with the Holy Spirit. Three things he doesn't want you to know is that he's involved in your everyday life and decision. He doesn't want you to know the truth of the word. He don't mind if you know the word. You don't know the truth and you understand the word, he's got you. And he doesn't want you to have fellowship with the Holy Ghost. Amen? So it's important. In fact, let's go to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. Oh, hallelujah. The process. Repent, renounce, and receive. In Matthew 16 and verse 13, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Is everybody there? When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? In other words, personal. Who do you say that I am? Do you know him? Who do you say he is to you? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ. In other words, the anointed one and his anointing. The Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Peter got revelation knowledge. Does everybody understand that? Peter got a revelation. You know, everybody must get a revelation. You must get the revelation of who Jesus is. That's a representation of something that has been revealed that you didn't know about. A revelation. That is something that's almost tangible. Revelation. In other words, it gets in your spirit that you know that you know that you know. There are times until you get that revelation that you thought you knew God, and when you got the revelation, you realize you never did. Amen? So we need to get a revelation, and it comes by the Holy Ghost. In fact, it's distributed by the Holy Ghost and set forth by the Father. Because Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." That word heaven represents spiritual. "And I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against." In other words, on this revelation, Peter, this is what I'm going to build my church on. My church will be built by the Holy Spirit and the revelation that I am the Anointed One and His anointing. And by that revelation, Jesus said, "Okay, I'm going to give you something now. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And that's what we're doing. We're actually establishing the keys of the kingdom. We are binding and we are loosing. Why? Because the revelation of who Christ is has been manifested here. Does everybody understand that? The revelation of who we are in Christ is being manifested. You know, we have a wonderful teaching called Revelation, Confirmation, and Manifestation. There are times when things aren't happening because you haven't got the revelation yet. You're going by carnality understanding. Does everybody understand that? There are times when it needs to get from your mind to your spirit. When it gets to your spirit, something always happens. When you get the revelation from God, He'll give you a confirmation, and there's always a manifestation. Always. But the whole thing we want to do is get the revelation. How do we get the revelation? We seek Him. We seek Him. You know, there's many people out there who still don't understand that they can be baptized in the Holy Ghost. There's many people out there who still think they've been baptized by the Holy Ghost, and they're not yet. Amen? Because of traditions of men, they were told, "Well, yeah, when you get baptized in water, you get the Holy Ghost automatically." That's why the person's really not a new creation yet. Hello? That's why he's still doing the same old things. Still got a foul mouth. Still really not seeking God yet. One of the major things about the baptism of the Holy Spirit is to bring sonship. Bring sonship. You don't just have to confess that you're His son. You know it. There is no doubt that you are His child. None. Oh, hallelujah. So we need to get a revelation, don't we? Amen? Would you turn to Proverbs 29? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Proverbs 29. Thank you, Lord. You know, it took a long time till we finally got the revelation that we were no longer occasional users. The revelation was like all around us, but we didn't get it yet. You know, and we finally had to end up in detox or in jail or in a hospital. You know, maybe I am. I didn't get that right. I was still in denial, you know. Maybe I need some help. You know, it's just a passing thing. You know, the devil does not want you to get revelation. Because if you can get revelation in true reality, when you get revelation, it's an open door to get Him. Does everybody got it? It's an open door to go after him. And Proverbs 29 and verse 18, would you read it with me? Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. No revelation. You know, in no revelation, people assume. They walk in assumption. And they begin to cast off restraint. In other words, they just begin to do whatever. And believers will do the same thing. Without a revelation of what to do, they just do it. And they walk in assumption, don't they? Well, I'm trusting God, but God says faith comes by hearing. Now, he says test all things, doesn't he? So you're not to put all of your eggs in one basket. You give your eggs to the Lord and let him put them where they're supposed to be. Amen? So we see that we need to have a revelation. And that's what we're doing in this process, aren't we? We're getting revelation. You know what's happening? The devil's being exposed. While the devil's being exposed, we're getting free. To God be the glory. Go to Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Yeah, we had to finally get into circumstances for us to get a revelation. You know? To God be the glory. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, would you read it with me? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, and not your own. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Does anybody know what the wiles of the devil is?
Trickery.
Trickery. Hello? So, you know, we need to have a revelation of what his tricks are. And there really are no treats with his tricks. It's false advertisement. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. That's the truth. That's the revelation that we need to constantly understand, that we're not fighting against one another, but we're fighting against powers of darkness. Amen? You know, speaking about tricks, you know, during Halloween and stuff, we always do a little outreach on the block. Hand out information to in baskets. And one time I dressed up as Moses and I went a little bit far, my wife said. Anyways, but I had some stuff returned. I dressed up as Moses and I put in their baskets. I blessed the kids and I put a little can of juice in there. They had the Word of God on it. And I put a bag in there that had a label on it to the parents, and it said, "You're cursed. You and your children are cursed for participating in this event." Man, I found a lot of stuff brought back to my front porch, you know. My neighbors didn't talk to me for a while. Some people didn't put up their stuff no more, and some people doubled it, you know. Some people still don't talk to me. There's one house on the block that still doesn't talk to me because of that. But praise God, you know. One day they'll get the revelation. You know, they didn't understand that I was actually trying to help them, not cause them a stumbling block. But, you know, I mean, my whole concern was, man, you know, it's our duty to expose the devil. You know, and so we would send stuff out to each house, you know, with this cases of juice, and they would always put every time we'd send the juice out to this one house, they'd put it on the front lawn to throw out to the garbage. You know, they wouldn't even accept the juice, so we'd go down there and pick up the juice again. But praise God, you know, they got to forgive me according to God, and I wasn't offended. Praise God. But anyways, we've got to understand and get revelation of the trickery of the devil. Amen? Because his greatest weapon is deception and his power is fear. And, you know, people are out there celebrating satanic events and don't even know it. Yeah. You know, people are putting up horseshoes over the horseshoe, what do you call those? Horseshoes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Lucky horseshoes. You know, the word lucky comes from the word Lucifer. So they're putting up all this stuff. They got a curse. People are still reading horoscopes thinking that it's going to tell them something like, you want to know about your future, read the Bible. You know? They're still going to mediums and psychics and all this stuff. They have no idea. They think that it's a gift from God, from this person. Because they do not understand the trickery of the devil. And by opening yourself up to that, you open yourself up to demonic activity.
Amen.
Amen? I remember, you know, I had to repent for my family. Because my family, you know, my mother, and they used to go there. And they used to, of course, have these statues around the house, pray the rosary, pray to Sister Mary, and all this other stuff, which opened doors of demonic activity. No man come to the Father except for through the Son. You know, so this was all demonic stuff that, you know, the trickery of the devil. And these were innocent people that, you know, wanted to know God. And some of them believed they loved God. But the Lord says, if you love me, you'll obey me. Amen? If you love me, you obey me. And it's not just about obedience relationship. It's about a relationship that reflects obedience. Does everybody understand? We obey because we love Him, not because we have to. We're not afraid about going to hell because we're not. As long as we stay in right with Him. Right? And if you love Him, you don't have nothing to worry about. People argue. I mean, you know, we teach in the jail a lot, and people argue over once saved, always saved. The only reason why they argue over it is because they still want to go out and do the things that are wrong. You know? Well, I believe I can do this and God will forgive me. Yeah, He'll forgive you. Just make sure you repent before you die. Hello? So we got to understand the trickery is of the devil. You know, Paul warned us. He said, many will come preaching the same gospel, but they'll be preaching another Jesus because of the spirit of error. They will not understand. They will preach another Jesus. Well, my Jesus is a deliverer, a healer, a raiser of the dead, and a baptizer of the Holy Ghost. He's a distributor of the gifts by His Spirit, and is a lover of all mankind. He was, He is, and He will always be. He is the Father, He is the Son, and He is the Spirit, because they're all one. But they have three different functions. Amen?
Amen?
My Jesus loves me unconditionally. There isn't anything I have to do to prove His love. He loves me. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. So we got to understand the trickery of the devil. One of the things he always wants to do is breach God's love towards you, doesn't he? He wants to prevent you from receiving God's love. That's why we went out and did things we shouldn't have. Right? We sought love in the wrong places. Would you go to 1 John, please? In chapter 5. Hallelujah. First John chapter 5 and verse 18. Now let's start at 17. Let's read it together. All unrighteousness and sin, and there is sin not leading to death. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin. Now we don't understand that that's, first of all, we all sin, don't we? So, it's not that he who is born of God does not sin. It's that he who is born of God acknowledges his sin. Amen? Because he discerns. It doesn't mean that you and I are not going to sin. You're going to have a sinful thought. You're going to speak something you shouldn't. Amen? But you're not going to practice it. There's a difference. There are those who practice it and those who don't. But he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. That means that sin is a presence, not just an act. And I know we've heard this before, we need to refresh ourselves. Because there are two things that we need to understand tonight before we get to the major strongholds and strongmen. Revelation and separation. Two major things we need to understand tonight is revelation and separation. We need to get revelation so we can get separation. And what we want to be able to do is separate ourselves from sin and separate ourselves from sickness, from addiction, from disease, separate ourselves from pornography, all of these things. We want to separate ourselves from these things. Amen? So it says, we know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the world, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from what? Idols. In other words, don't agree with darkness. Don't agree with the kingdom of darkness. We must separate ourselves. Separate is a representation of understand, isn't it? We must separate ourselves from the sin, from the sickness, addictions, and so forth. You know, people have excuses, in other words, why they are the way they are. I remember one person said to me one time, it was powerful, the Lord gave me a revelation. This individual came home late at night. He told me that his van broke down and that on a country road, and in his oil pan hit a rock and broke his oil pan, this, that, and whatever. And the Holy Spirit showed me that he cleaned off his oil pan and went underneath the car and put a crayon on there to make it look like he bought something from the junkyard. So when he came, as soon as he came in, right, as soon as he came in, I knew exactly what was what. I saw the yellow marker. I went underneath the truck and I looked, and there was the yellow mark right on the oil pan. I thought, wow. No. All right. Let's see what we're going to do. But do you understand that the Holy Spirit gave me what? Revelation. And so as I confronted him on it, and he finally repented on it, and he said, I'm only human. I wanted to slap the soul out of him. I said, what do you mean you're only human? Don't give me that excuse, you're only human. And that's what the devil wants to tell you. You're only human. You're not human. The Bible says you're not of this world. You know what I'm saying? He wants to stick you in the temporary realm when you and I are from the eternal realm. We've been released from the temporary realm. You're no longer human. You may look it, but you better not act it. Hello? You're not like the world anymore. They're human. You're not. You still have a spirit, soul, and body. You're still dragging along this flesh creature of ours. But it's going to be severed one day. Right? You're going to have dominion over it, aren't you? Your flesh is not to carry your spirit. Your spirit's to carry your flesh. Because you're no longer human. Does everybody understand it? So when the devil tells you, well, I'm only human. Oh, man, you better spit the hook out quickly. I'm only human. Oh, praise God. So we have to learn to separate, don't we? We have to separate sin. We have to separate the things of the world. We have to learn how to separate, because you are the sons of the Most High God. If you're of the world, you're a son of the devil. Now, if you want to be human, go ahead. Humans will die. Sons will live forever. Oh, hallelujah. Go to John 3. I know sometimes you feel like you're human. You know, you get aches and pains. Trip over your own flesh sometimes. But you're no longer of this world. Now your flesh may react like it's of this world sometimes. But you got to learn how to separate it. Sanctify. Oh, hallelujah. We got a teaching on separation too. And get the tape. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John, I'm sorry. 1 John chapter 3. Hallelujah. It's a good night to die. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness. And sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. In other words, he was manifest so that we would acknowledge the kingdom of darkness, right? And not associate with it. Remember, sin is not just a commitment. It's an association and an agreement with the kingdom of darkness. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Hello? Whoever sins, he has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of who? The devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. Ooh, hallelujah. So sin is lawlessness. Fellowship with darkness is sin. Go to James 4. James chapter 4. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So pornography is addiction, isn't it? Homosexuality and lesbianism is addiction. All addictions are a fruit of a spiritual root. Has everybody got that? Those are labeled addictions. James chapter 4 and verse 1. I believe. Sure, it'll work. James chapter 4 and verse 1. Where do wars and fights come among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you spend it on your own pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Who's the ruler of the world? So friendship with the kingdom of darkness is enmity with God. Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world or the kingdom of darkness makes himself what? An enemy of God. See, we've got to learn how to separate this stuff, man. Or do you not think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? And that's a good jealously. That's God wants you for himself. Amen. So if you want to be a friend of the world, you become a friend of the kingdom of darkness. Ephesians chapter 5. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 5. Now the world loves to put labels on people. I mean, their big theory is labels. Right? Psychology is nothing but a theory. When they don't know what to do with someone, they lock them up and give them dope. And they call it victory. because the person's off the street. Can't harm anybody or harm themselves. So they walk around and drool for a while, bounce off of walls and smoke cigarettes till they become a chimney or they die. That's success. Oh, how wrong. How wrong. It's because they don't know the spiritual arena. We are a triune being. What you associate in the spiritual realm manifests in the natural realm. And it will manifest in your flesh or in your soul. Amen? Praise God. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 6, please. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedient. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were once darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no what? Fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what? Expose them. So you and I are to expose them. But how are you going to expose them if you don't know them? That's where you have to learn how to separate, don't you? Exposure is a representation of separation. The purpose, the Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus was manifested to expose darkness, right? The Holy Spirit was left for me and you so he would constantly expose darkness for me and you so that you wouldn't walk in darkness, but you would walk in light. So that you'd be able to receive the love of God, give the love of God, and kick butt on the devil. Hallelujah. So we are not to have fellowship with darkness, but expose it, recognize it, discern it, and identify it. Has everybody got it? We are to recognize it, discern it, and identify it. You know, there's so many areas that people don't acknowledge that it's a spirit. Envy and jealousy is one of them. They don't realize it's a spirit. They just think it's a feeling. Hatred and bitterness. They think it's, well, it's just a feeling. No, it's a presence of a spirit. When you put your hand in water, there's something going on there. You feel the water. Well, it's the same thing with a spirit. That feeling is a representation of a presence of a spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Now, you know that the Holy Spirit can quicken you with reverence fear, can he? Yeah. In other words, you can get afraid of something because he's trying to protect you from going in the fire or something. But then there's a tormenting fear, which is different, isn't there? So see, even the Holy Spirit is trying to get us to certain areas too, isn't he? He's trying to protect us and guide us, keep us under the wings of the Lord. James 3. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody all right? James chapter 3. Everybody do your deliverance prayers last night? Good. James chapter 3 and verse 13. Would you read it with me? Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by what? Good conduct. Hallelujah. Good conduct is a representation of your fruits. Who you associate is going to manifest through you of fruits. If there's anger, bitterness, jealousy, rage, that fruit's going to manifest, isn't it? Let him show by good works that or good conduct, that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. Do not make excuses that you're human. or the devil made me do it. The Bible, we just read that the devil can't touch you, right? Now listen to this. This is powerful. Read 14 again. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast Do not boast and lie against the truth. Now here's going to tell you, this wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. Whoa. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. That is a presence of demonic activity. That's association. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, willing to die. Hello. Full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Hallelujah. You know, people struggle because they're actually resisting the move of the Spirit. They struggle because they're resisting the move of the Spirit. How many times has God tried to move you into a place and you struggled? Right? Because your carnal understanding says, yes, but this is what I want, this is where I belong, and whatever. And the devil tries to beat you up, tear you up. Hello? And he's trying to get you into a place. You know, everybody has a specific part in the body of Christ. And listen, you can't play the hand if God has called you to play the foot. You'll stumble and struggle and will not fulfill that position. And God's going to eventually have to move you. But you can't look at it as a demotion. You must look at it as a move of the Spirit. Does everybody understand that? Because God is trying to move you. He's always trying to move us. And everything is a process, isn't it? And as we go through this process, God is molding us more and more in His image and likeness. There is a job or something that He wants to do with you through that job. And maybe this job isn't going to do it, so He's going to put you somewhere else where He can. Hello? Why? His main purpose is to expose darkness in you so you can get free and so He can bless you. Why? Because repentance, renouncing, and what? Receive. Listen, the Father said, I desire to give you the kingdom of God. That means He wants to heal you, deliver you, free you, establish you, promote you, bless you, amen, prosper you, and give you life, life more abundantly. Why? Above the world. Because you're not human. Hello? So, you know, this is where you got to go, where the Holy Spirit's directing you. The reason why people struggle is because they're actually resisting the move of the Spirit. And they think then they blame it on the devil. Oh, man, you wouldn't believe the devil's really attacking me. No, man, you're just not going in the flow of the Spirit. And when you're not going in the flow of the Spirit, the devil has an open door to you. Oh, hallelujah. Where were we? Glory to God. So, when things begin to happen, right, we have a tendency, by the voice of the stranger, the first ones to show up is envy and jealousy. Hi, I'm Envy. This is jealousy, my partner. What about what's his name? How come he gets to do it and I don't? Oh, that varmint. You know? Oh, okay. Let me bless him. But inside, that's where the torment is. Hello? That's where you have to go to the Lord. Oh, you can speak anything you want. But if your heart's not right, you're just covering it up. But what you're actually trying to convince yourself. Hello? Oh, hallelujah. So we meet the brothers, the twins of envy and jealousy, right? They come show up, and they want to beat you up so badly. Hello? Come on. Go to Psalm 31. I mean, Psalm 37. They came right out of the pit of hell. They're twins. Well, how come what's her name got healed and I didn't? Psalm 37. And verse 1. Read it with me, please. Do not fret because of evildoers. Don't fret. Nor be what? Envious of the workers of iniquity. Oh, man, you know how many people look at Donald Trump and all those other individuals that are very wealthy to building a gazillion-dollar yacht, and it won't rescue them from hell. Hello? Yeah, but you don't understand. If I had that kind of money, you know what I could do for the kingdom of God? If God wanted you to have that kind of money, you'd have it. He says he doesn't give you any more than you can handle. If you're willing, hello? If you're in fellowship with him, the Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not what? Lack. Hello? Trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and feed on who? His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Why? Because your heart desires will be his desires. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. What's he going to bring to pass? The desire that he gave you. Because your delight is in him and fellowship is with him. Because you're willing to go with the flow of the Spirit and quit fighting the move of the Spirit when he's trying to move you. You know how many times God is trying to promote you? And we get all comfortable? Yeah, but you don't understand. Then people get caught up, they become human. They become human and get concerned about, well, wait a minute, I've been working this job for 14 years. I'm about ready to get a raise and retire from here and this and that, whatever. And God's trying to move me? That just doesn't make sense. Bonehead. It's called carnal. How do you know God's not trying to rescue someone else and move you to be a witness? He'll promote you. Let him do it. Oh, we fight, struggle, kick, and scream because we want to be human. Proverbs 3. You're good, Lord. I'm telling you, you're awesome. I love you. Praise God. I love you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Wow. In verse 31, do not envy the oppressor and choose none of his ways. For the perverse person is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret counsel is with who? The upright. Oh, hallelujah. So it says what now? Wait a minute here. It says don't choose none of the ways of the person who... What? Don't envy the oppressor. Don't choose any of his ways. Go to Romans 13. Romans 13. Glory to God. Is everybody there? Romans chapter 13 and verse 13. Oh, let's back up a little bit. 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand, therefore let us cast off the works of what? Darkness. Let us stop associating with the works of darkness in the kingdom of darkness. And let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, because you become human. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts and desires. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now let me share something with you. One of the reasons why envy and jealousy start to manifest, why those two demons show up, is because they're trying to breach the love of God for you. What happens is then once you've accepted or you begin to associate with these twins, what begins to happen is they start telling you all kinds of stuff that God doesn't love you. Well, how come this happened? If God loved me, then You know, I mean, come on, when we were in the world, how many times did your this girl said to me, well, if you love me, do this. Hello? Man, we all got in trouble because of that one. Well, if you love me, do this. Some guys are still doing time because they were still trying to prove their love. Hello? See, you don't have to do that with Daddy. He loves you unconditionally. First Corinthians chapter 13. First Corinthians chapter 13. Praise God. Hallelujah. In verse... Verse 4. Read it with me. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. Well, that sounds like the opposite of love could be pride. Does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. That's your dad. That's your dad. But you got to understand, when envy and jealousy, when you allow envy and jealousy in, what you've done is you've exchanged the love of God for the world of envy and jealousy. Has everybody got it? It's a killer. It causes division. You know what it does? It destroys marriages, relationships, friendships. Think about it. You know, let me share something with you. Did you ever hear that love-hate thing? People have been married. Man, if you love them that much, you hate them that much. No, that's a lie. It's a lie because love gives. Lust takes. You know, probably they didn't love right from the beginning. Does everybody understand that? There wasn't that proper love right from the beginning. Because if there was so much jealousy, if there was envy, that's the opposite of love. That's not love. Love what? Trust? You know, many of us have been in relationships where there was no trust, was there? Because it wasn't love. It was lust. And you know what? That's when you got to let go. Because you'll fall right back into that same category again. You go through that same cycle. Go to 1 John chapter 3. Oh, hallelujah. Envy is a feeling of discontentment or ill feeling of another's advantage. Ooh. Possessions or blessings. Jealousy is being very careful of or guarding something, not tolerating, or something holding on to, like icons and whatever. People. That's the same thing of covetousness, you know that? We covet that. Hallelujah. Where did I say to go? 1 John chapter 3. Are you there yet? Amen. Where are you at? Don't worry about it. 1 John chapter 3 and verse something. 1 through 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we will know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him. Woo! For we shall see Him as He is. And anyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. That's our hope, right? Because you're not human. You're going to be, you're in the cocoon, right? Going to be a butterfly. Glory to God. So we see that God will not reject you. Does everybody understand that? The world rejected us, but God won't reject us. So now we're dealing with envy, jealousy, and what? Rejection. Envy, jealousy, and rejection. Those are three spirits that love to hinder us. Oh man, they love to hinder us big time. Go to Isaiah 53. Hallelujah. Starting at verse 1, who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form of comeliness. He has no form of good looking. Let me see what this is supposed to be. Appearance. They put goofy words sometimes in here, man. Just cross that out and put the word appearance. Simple. When they think they are the King James Version. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by who? Men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs, our sicknesses, and all of our problems, and carried our sorrows and pains and rejections. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, our goofy thoughts, our words, and our deeds. He was bruised for our iniquities, our ancestral things that were brought down. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. So he was rejected. What makes you think you won't be? Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. Three major spirits we're talking about tonight. Envy, jealousy, and rejection. Oh, hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 2. You know, they really associate with one another, you know? Because when somebody gets rejected by something, they get envy and jealousy. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, hello, but chosen by God, and precious. Everyone in this room has been rejected by man. Praise God. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So you've been rejected by men. Some of us have been rejected by our own parents. Some of us have been abandoned. Tossed aside. Amen? Rejected. But we know we're not rejected by God. This is where we have to learn to separate. Do you understand that? Because the ones who've rejected you, you need to bless and forgive. The only thing that they were doing was passing the same wound on to you that they had, because they were rejected. That's the revelation we need to get. It wasn't them. Yeah, but you don't understand. You don't either. Hello? You need to forgive, forget, give them to God, and break that thing off of you. His Mr. Rejection is hanging out with two other buddies of his, envy and jealousy. Amen? Rejected by men, but accepted by God. Everybody wants to be accepted. Right? Everybody wants to be accepted. Well, that's not going to happen. You can't please everyone, can you? Can't please everyone. So we must continue the process of repent, renounce, and receive. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm just doing a little overview before we go specifically to them. Verse 18. Glory to God. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jew and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brother, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. Hallelujah. See, that's where you can promote your rejection. Thank you, Lord. I was foolishly rejected. But now I'm foolishly in love. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. We must learn to separate. Amen? Oh, here's something powerful. Go to Luke 10. Luke chapter 10. Oh, glory. Luke 10 and verse 16, and I want everyone to read it with me. Luke 10 and verse 16. So you didn't get things the way you wanted it to, and the spirit of rejection came up to you and said, man, look at that. They don't want you. They don't love you. And what's he doing? Nullifying the love of God towards you. And then Mr. and Mrs. Envy and Jealousy show up and say, yes. Look what they've done for this person. Man, hold a grudge toward them. Just every time you walk by them, just don't say nothing. Because of what they've done to you. And we'll call bitterness up on the phone and have them visit you tomorrow. Wow. The next thing you know, you're in confusion. You're tormented and you're seeking some love. Let's see, the first thing that comes to you. Driving down the road, there's food and demons. It's supposed to be spirits. Well, maybe I'll stop and drink. I remember, see, the devil bring you right to the past. To remember, he'll try and bring you to the place how you used to gratify your rejection. Hello? Oh, that's it. And then you know what he's starting to do? Affect your physical realm. Because he knows if he can get you all stirred up, then envy, jealousy, bitterness, anger, anxiousness, anxiety, stress starts to manifest and you begin to break out. First thing, you break out in a sweat. 2 days later, you break out in hives. Next thing you know, you're sick. Hello? Next thing you know, you're in bed with depression. And I'm telling you, he's invited the whole kingdom of God. They come over with potato chips and popcorn and everything, and I'll party on you now. Amen? Because you're raiding their refrigerator trying to get relief. Or you're raiding the bar, or you're calling up old friends that you have to use dope with, or you're thinking about an old girlfriend that might give you a little comfort over the phone instead of calling on the comforter. Oh, hallelujah. Luke 10:16. Is everybody there? Come on, read it with me. He who hears you, hears me. He who rejects you, rejects me. And he who rejects me, rejects him who sent me. I remember one time I went into this place and I had an appointment with this individual who was a buyer, and we were trying to put in our product that had the Word of God on the juice cans and so forth, and he was claiming to be a believer, this, that, and whatever. And we started talking, and everybody was a go except for this one person that was supposed to go into this big chain of stores and so forth. And he said to me, it's too radical. Because they had the Word of God on it, salvation prayer. He says, it's too radical. I couldn't, you know, I said, well, you know what? If Jesus came in here and asked you to do it, you'd do it. He said, well, you ain't Jesus. And the Lord went right over my mouth. Don't say another word, guy. And immediately the Holy Spirit quickened me. He's rejected me, guy. He rejected you. And I walked out of the place and said, okay, no problem. That was that. I can't tell you how many people, and I don't like that, I'm not boasting about this or anything, but you know, when God puts people in positions and they refuse to honor that position because God put them in the position, He removes them. He removes them. I'm telling you, I've seen it. When we had this product, these big men that I went to go see, they were removed afterwards when they rejected. Some of them were end up sick in the hospital, this, that, whatever. One place closed right down. But anyways, to God be the glory. When you're rejected, He's rejected. Amen? So we can't fall into this thing. We really got to begin to get separation. We really must get this understanding. We got to get this revelation that you're not fighting flesh and blood. That these feelings are not just our feelings. It's a presence. Right? Come on, you know the presence. You can feel the presence of God, can't you? Oh, yeah. Man, you get joy. Right? Now, there are things that block God's presence, isn't there? In your life. Is it God not wanting to give you His presence? No. He wants to give you His presence. His desire is to give you the kingdom of God. But there are things that you're not allowing Him access to. You still got a bunch of stuff underneath the rug. And you keep tripping over the same old thing because you won't allow these issues to come forth. And when they come forth, you keep ignoring them. Amen? Instead of exposing them. Remember, I always share this. God's going to expose it to you. If you don't get it, He'll expose it to everybody else. So you get it. So envy is a feeling of discontent, right? Covetousness is, it's almost like covetousness, isn't it? It's something that you long for. It's wrongly wanting. You know, the nature of envy and jealousy is you're always comparing yourself to others. The devil always brings you there. Why? So then he can beat you down. He likes to promote someone else. And then when you get there, he likes to pat you on the back with pride. See, you've got to be able to separate these things. In other words, he always puts the nature of envy and jealousy is you can't win because there'll always be someone richer and smarter. Makes others into idols. If I can only be like him or her. Not trusting God's timing. Ooh. Keeps you from being content with what you have. The goal is to separate and divide. And this is what we're talking about. Amen? That's our goal. envy and jealousy will destroy relationships, families, and marriages. Listening to envy and jealousy produces strife, but not listening to them will produce peace. Some of the roots of envy and jealousy are pride, rebellion, bitterness, and controlling. Let me repeat that. Some of the roots of envy and jealousy are pride, rebellion, bitterness, and controlling. We must continue the process. It's like I shared with you already about this love-hate relationship. If you had a love-hate relationship, you never loved the person from the beginning. You lost it. Amen? You lost it. Rejection communicates that a person is unacceptable, of no value, doesn't belong, unwanted, can't fit in, unloved. Who told you that, right? Its effects are devastating in your body. Those are words that hurt, don't they? They rip, they tear, those are corruptible seeds. And accepting and receiving it is actually sin. Do you understand that? Because you're associating with the kingdom of darkness. God said, He loves you. He said, you're a new creation. He said, old things have passed away and all things have become new. He calls you son. He said, you're a sojourner. You're just cruising through this earth, aren't you? Right? But this is not your home. This is not your home at all. It's just temporary. So why get caught up in the temporary? Let's get caught up in the eternal. Remember, the Holy Spirit always leads you and the devil always pushes you. God never interrupts himself. Never interrupts himself. You feel that push? I gotta. Guess who's there? Lust takes and love gives. Some of the nature of rejection, not just an emotion or a feeling, but it's a spirit, gets its kicks by being rejected. Picks fights with loved ones, pushes them away till they do just that. They reject them. Did you ever get around someone, man, that no matter what you try and do, they're very sensitive? It's like it's like walking around them in eggshells. It's like, man, no matter what you say, they come back with a rejection thing. You know why? They're associated with the spirit of rejection. Because they've been rejected. But you're not rejected anymore. That's a spirit. Very sensitive. Picks apart words, scrambles intentions, judges facial expressions, looks at every action through a microscope. Twists words and misinterprets what you always say. It's a two-way street. We'll reject others before they can be rejected. And will not let us get comforted. That's a spirit of rejection. Does not want you to get comforted. It always has an identity problem. It produces preconceived ideas about others, what they think of them. The only thing I can tell you is the cure to this is receiving the love of God. Amen? Well, we have to go through the process, don't we? Now, there are open doors that can cause these problems, and sometimes it's been, adopted children in a mother's womb that didn't want a child. Amen? Early childhood, wrong gender, somebody's father, whatever, said, man, I wanted a boy, what I got a girl for? That child's born with rejection, not even knowing it. A family with a father that's a couch potato and not involved in a life feels rejected. Spiritual absent father. Father establishes the spirit. You know that a father establishes the spiritual identity of a child? Wow. Some of its roots is anger and bitterness and fear. Unloving spirit, self-rejection, addictions, because we've been rejected. Pride, self-idolatry, desperate search for love and identity. rebellion, recognition, and discernment we must be able to obtain. Listen, the only thing that you can get out of the hold of rejection is to receive the love of the Father, love yourself, and love others. Praise God. So we see the three stooges of rejection, envy, and jealousy. When you feel it, it's the presence. When you accept it, hello, you begin to manifest it, right? You begin to manifest it. Let's get rid of those things tonight. All right? Let's get rid of these strong men. Let's forgive those who've rejected us, because the most important thing is your true Heavenly Father has not rejected you. Let's get rid of the spirit of jealousy and envy. It doesn't do anything but cause strife, right? There's no peace in it. We want peace. Hallelujah. We want peace. Holy Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, as your Son and your servant, and we all touch and agree in this room right now in the name of Jesus, we come against these three spirits tonight of envy, jealousy, and rejection. And we bind these three strong men in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We take this opportunity to repent for associating with them and agreeing with them. You said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, Lord, and I thank you, and I ask that you'll give everyone here discernment and understanding. Rejected by man and our families, not living up to their expectations, but never rejected by you. We give you glory and honor. You're a liar, devil. You've hindered us with rejection. You've hindered us with envy and jealousy. And we're not playing your game no more. So in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I bind those three devils and all of their cohorts and all the underlying spirits that associate with the spirit of envy, jealousy, and rejection. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I break your powers off, and I break the powers off right now, and I command every one of these spirits of covetousness, idolatry, comparison, discontent, not trusting God, unbelief that God will provide, envy, jealousy, bitterness, unforgiveness, resentment, retaliation, anger, hatred, and violence, murder, critical spirits, gossip, curse of touching God's anointed, competition and pride, superiority, self-ambition, strife, rivalry, jealousy, possessiveness, control, fear, and fear of loss of control, abandonment, fear of abandonment, accusation by others, self-accusation, rejection by others, especially mothers and fathers and stepfathers or best friends and overseers, self-rejection and self-martyrism, rejection of others, fear of failure, fear of man, fear of rejection, fear of vulnerability, fear of deliverance, false burden-bearing, false responsibility, discontentment, fear of needing love, needing of approval, needing of acceptance, fabricated personality, double-mindedness, lust, fantasy lust, need for identity, insecurity, self-hatred, self-pity, depression, rebellion, control, manipulation, unthankfulness, and a deep hurt and woundings of these spirits coming out of rejection. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I take my authority and I command every one of those spirits and associated spirits with them to loose every single one in this room, to leave this room right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And there I say, come out of the people of God in this house to seek dry ground and not return. Including now, I command that every strong man follow them in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and you do not return. And I call forth in the name of Jesus, I send forth the word of God to each person in this room that by His stripes you are healed. And if you'll raise your hands right now in Jesus' name, now Holy Spirit, just fill us. Fill us. Fill us. Fill us with your love, Lord. Fill us with your presence. let us know and feel your love. Send the comforter to those who are wounded. Lord, heal those wounds. In the name of Jesus, heal those wounds, Lord. Set us apart, for we are your sons and your daughters. We are precious in your sight, not rejected, but received, accepted, established for your glory, loved unconditionally. Oh, Daddy, just wrap your arms around us tonight and fill us with your Spirit. Jesus. Freedom. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear, may it be a Father, I break the cycle right now in the name of Jesus of these spirits that have hindered the people of God in this house. I command all desires and addictions and lusts right now to melt in the presence of God. And all associated spirits to break their powers off of each and every one in this room, that the kingdom of light would be manifested, knowing that he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. Now, Daddy, allow the rivers of living water, the fruits and the gifts of the Spirit to manifest through each and every one in this house. Throwing our oars out of the boat and letting the river take us where you want us to. Now, Father, I pray a blessing on each and every one. I bless them and I break the curse off of them in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen and hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand.